take our Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. What I would like to do this evening is I'm going to read verses 24 to 31. But I only plan to preach out of verses 24 and 25. Now, I want to read these verses, 24, 31, because there's a complete thought that's set forth here. But I just don't feel that I'm going to be able to preach all of those verses and try to preach them and set forth the honor of our Lord in all of them, but I want to read the verses, and Lord willing, next time we're in Hebrews, I'll read them again, and then read them again, until we get through verse 31. But let's read verses 24 to 31, and Lord willing, we'll do two verses tonight. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening, we do thank you as we come before you and ask, Lord, that you might be merciful and kind in opening unto us the Scriptures. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit, would you bless this word this evening as, Lord, we try to worship. Help us. Teach us, guide us, direct us. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. By the grace of God, believers possess some unspeakable privileges. There is no way in the world that we can consider with a full understanding the privileges that we have considered over the last few weeks. The Scriptures sets forth that because we have a high priest over the house of God, and there is but one priest, there are no other priests. There are no man-made priests. We have one priest, one high priest. And this great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture sets forth, is over the house of God, over the church of the living God. And there are some precious privileges that are set forth for God's people, for God's elect, for those that the Lord has everlastingly loved and chosen to show mercy to. We looked at one a couple of weeks ago. It was verse 22. Here was the first great privilege. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to the Lord God Himself. Now, can you just stop with me for just a minute and admit, can we grasp hold of that? Can we grasp hold that we absolutely can draw near, can approach with a true heart, not a counterfeit, not a fake? God's people don't possess fake, counterfeit hearts. They have a new heart, a new man, a new mind. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, we have peace with God. We're convinced of that. By faith, we know by the blood of Christ that purges the conscience from a troubled past, troubled presence, and we're sure a troubled future. That there is now, therefore, to those that be in Christ, there's no condemnation. Good news. Good news. We can approach unto Him, and we have our conscience sprinkled and our bodies washed. We need to be cleansed every day. There is not a believer that does not readily admit, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You don't begin your day when you meet with Him in prayer. You don't begin that day. You don't end that day without readily admitting, Lord, if You were to count iniquity, if You marked iniquity, Lord, my very prayer, if You marked iniquity, my very prayer would put me in hell. Lord, I need to be cleansed. I need to be washed. That's what the Lord set forth. You know that when He put on that towel and took that basin of water and washed His disciples' feet. So let us draw near. First great privilege. Second great privilege. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Believers hold fast to Him who holds them fast. We do hold to the Lord, don't we? By faith, we do. But do you know why we do? Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Would you hate to stand before God and answer concerning your faithfulness? I would. We hold fast to Him, and what a privilege, what an honor. Hold fast the profession of our faith. What do we believe? This is what we looked at last time. Just very quickly, this is what we believe. We believe that Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, chose, because He would not let the order of man perish from this earth, He chose to show mercy to the order of man. This is John 3:16 right now. If you want to know John 3:16, for God so loved the order of man. Not every one of them. Not every one of them. Not every woman without distinction. No, sir. Scripture never sets forth that God loves them all without distinction, but He loved the order of man and would not allow the order of mankind to perish. So what did He do? He chose out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue a people that He's going to show mercy to. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I shall have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So it's not of him that willeth. Man doesn't have a free will. You know that. Men are dead, trespasses and sins. But what's he going to do? He's going to call them out of darkness. But I tell you this, before he called them out of darkness, before the foundation of the world, God the Father saw the Lamb slain. The Scripture sets forth, He saved us and called us with a holy calling. When Christ died at Calvary, who did He die for? He died for everyone that the Father gave Him in electing grace. Did He die for anyone else? No. I lay down my life for the sheep. The Spirit of God, who's He going to call out? Everyone that the Father chose and the Son redeemed. The Spirit of God's going to call them out of darkness. He's going to put them under the sound of the gospel. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. God's people don't waver. Not when He calls them out of darkness. They don't waver from this. They don't deviate from this. According to His promise and His faithfulness, He shall never, never let us perish. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, here's this evening. Here's the third great privilege, and that great privilege is made up in these scriptures that I read this evening. Like I said, it may be a long service if we tried to deal with all of them. So let's just begin this third great privilege this evening. Verse 24, and then I'll go on into verse 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, because God's people are brethren, knit together, members of His body. I'll tell you this, all of God's people, we belong to Him. We're His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, collectively, all chosen. Every one of God's sheep were chosen at the same time in the Son, in the surety. When He chose Abraham, Gary, He chose you. Same time. They were all collectively chosen in Christ. They were all collectively redeemed by His blood. The Lord Jesus Christ died in time. You know that. You know He died in time. But as I said just a few minutes ago, before the foundation of the world, the Father who saw that lamb slain and first trusted in Christ. Who was the first one that ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? It was the Father. He trusted Him. All that the Father loved, the Son loved, the Spirit of God loved, the Scripture sets forth, speaking of God Almighty, naming the Father, chosen, and put them in Christ, and kept them in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ loved His own, came into this world, redeemed them, lived for them, and earned the righteousness. I'll tell you this, no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will ever stand before God and name anything that He's ever done. You will never find a believer starting to list his merits. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. When those 24 elders back in the book of Revelation throw those crowns at the feet of Him who has taken the book out of the one that sat on the throne, the book of the revelation of God's everlasting covenant to show mercy to His people. When He took that book, they cast their crowns before Him and they said, Lord, You're worthy to receive all honor and all glory and all praise. We're here this evening to honor Him, to praise Him. Any man, any woman finds themselves hearing the Master say, well done. Well done. They will say, Lord, by Your grace I am what I am. Lord, You're worthy. Let us diligently bear in mind and continually have in view our brethren. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. As believers, we are more closely knit together than any members of our family who are unbelievers. You're more closely knit together. I've told you before, I have members of my family. And I pray, Lord, have mercy on them. Call their names and ask, Lord, if You will, You can show mercy. I ask, Lord, if You are pleased, and I can be around them in just a few minutes. I've said everything I know to say. I mean, we've caught up on the last year or 2 years or 5 years. I don't know. But I can sit down with a believer. And our conversation will go to Him. It'll go to Christ. And you'll speak of Him. And your hearts will rejoice. Why? Because you're brethren. You love one another. You pray for one another. Oh, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us so regard the welfare of our brethren to consider their interest, their being. Make that a priority. God's people love God's people. You know why? Because the Lord has given them a heart for them. They love them. They want to be with them. They want to be where they are. I want to be with God's people. I want to be with believers. I want to be with those that honor Him, that speak of Him, that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Don't. Boy, I tell you what, we all struggle with this. There's an old nature. Now, we've talked about this so many times, but this is the way it is. There's an old nature in every one of us that's concerned with us. Now, you know that's so. But there's a new man there that reads God's Word and loves God's Word and truly desires to give attention for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the good of others, and to have a tender interest for their welfare, for their heart, for their well-being. I don't mean to be busybodies in other men's affairs, but where it's appropriate to continually be looking to strive to do them good. This is the evidence to the world. This is the mark of a believer. Here it is, right here. John 13:35. By this. I've looked at that scripture so many times, and I think about it. And that word, this. T-H-I-S. By this. By this. By this. Shall all men know that you are my disciples. You have love one for the other. It's just, the Spirit of God took that and just narrowed it down to this point. This is how you know. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. You love one another. You defend one another. You watch one another. You're always longing after helping them, those. But thanks be unto God that He's not left us to ourselves to wonder, considering one another and provoking unto love to good works. Here's the amazing thing. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. if that's where he ended it, you'd say, well, okay. The next verse is the scriptural privilege. And I mean a privilege. And this what we're about to read, let me tell you this. A believer will not do. They will not do. A believer won't do it. Why? Because the Lord's going to keep them. I tell you, it is so marvelous when we read God's Word and it doesn't leave us hanging to try to figure out, what is it, Lord? You said through the apostle, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What is it? Here it is. Here's the answer. This is God's answer. Through the hand of a man. Yes. But these words were written by God's Spirit. These were penned by a human hand as they were spoken. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for correction, for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness. Here the Lord is instructing us this evening. Here as He Himself, as Paul says, we preach to you in Christ's stead, these are the words of Almighty God. What does God have to say about the provoking to love and to good works? Here it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, the apostle says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know, as the day is approaching, I don't know when that day is. Is that the day of the return of our Lord? Is it the day that our Lord will mercifully, kindly, gently and compassionately bring us to Himself, draw us to Himself? Is that it? I don't know. But I do know this. I know that this life is but a vapor. I know that. And I know that while we're here, this great privilege that we have in considering one another and provoking unto love and to good works, here is the Lord God's answer for the provoking unto love. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know why a believer wants to do that? Well, number one, it's honoring to our Lord. That's where God's people meet. That's where the Lord meets with them. That's where the Word is set forth. That's where the Spirit of God blesses. That's where we're taught. Think of the fellowship that we enjoy as we sit together tonight, hearing the Word of God preached. I'm not talking about just trying to set forth and talk about how evil, you know, abortion is, and we ought to this, and we're going to take a stand, we're going to march, and we're going to get into politics, and we're going to... Scripture says, for let the potsherds of this world, let them argue about those things. No, I want to come together tonight, and I want to talk about God's glory and God's honor, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Provoking unto love and good works is a privilege that is too great for us to decipher. If we were to just leave it to ourselves, we'd all come up with some answer, wouldn't we? We'd come up, well, I tell you how I think we ought to do. We ought to start visiting more. And we ought to start... No, I'll tell you how it is. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. These good works, provoking unto love and to good works, these good works, not not works that men have performed that they think qualify themselves before God for acceptance, but it's the work of God's Spirit. Faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. It is God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. God's people assemble themselves together because they desire to. They love it. They look forward to it. They look forward. Who knows? Maybe the Lord might be pleased to meet with us tonight. Maybe God might be pleased to bless this to the heart of one of His sheep. Maybe the Lord may bless this word and call out one of your kids or one of your family members. One of you, who knows? Who knows? We provoke unto love and good works, considering one another when we meet together in public worship. This right here is the most important thing that we can do collectively. Meet together. I know this. I know that, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have the means that we do. We put these messages are all put out on the internet. They go all over the world. I may have told you, I got an email the other day, and it was a guy wrote me, and he just, you know, he said, listen, he said, I found you, and I listen to your messages every week, and he said, I thank you, and I appreciate it, and I emailed him back, and I said, well, what state are you in? I thought maybe it was in Pennsylvania or something like that, you know, if it's not more than, you know, maybe 5 or 6 hours, that's not too far to drive to hear the gospel. I thought maybe, you know, invite him to come and stuff. He said, I'm in England. I thought, I wrote him back and I said, well, I sure do appreciate you, you know. Told me he'd been to the States a couple of times. He said, I flew into Huntington, West Virginia when I came to the States. I said, well, if you ever come back, come see me. He wrote me back. He said, thank you for saying that. I said, I mean, we just had some good conversations. God's people find comfort in meeting together. It's okay to, if you're traveling and you put in a tape, you can't providentially, you're not able, you're recuperating or something. I understand. I do understand. There's times that providentially you can't. You work. I understand that. But I will tell you this. God's people, when they can, they will meet together. God's people will assemble themselves together. And there's no substitute. There's no substitute for this. No substitute for meeting together and finding comfort and peace and love. This is blessed by the Spirit of God. This is what the Lord blesses. We're not trying to see if we can drum up love. No, I'm telling you, what happens is the Spirit of God blesses it. And God knits His people together when they hear the glorious gospel. Whenever you hear, when you hear the honor of the Lord as we come together and a preacher stands up and he's hopefully prepared and he's asked the Lord's blessing. I've said before, I can take a set of notes here, and I would probably say you could go over them and read them, I think they're doctrinally sound. I think they are. But I can take these words right here and I can read them and set them forth, and if the Lord doesn't bless them, as Brother Henry said, they're just words. They're just words. You heard them, and then some will hear, and it'll be like the birds that just kind of took them and they were gone that quickly. Didn't more mean anything to man to moon. But to some, if the Spirit of God is pleased to bless the preaching of the glorious, electing, redeeming, quickening, keeping grace of God Almighty, and people hear the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Not God that's trying to do something. Tell me about God that does as He will. Tell me about the Lord that absolutely, positively has set forth, I shall do all my will. He who knows the end from the beginning, because He's ordained it. I'll tell you this, everything God's ordained, that's what's coming to pass. The Lord's going to save His people. How many people, as I've said before in closing, how many people will not be in heaven that Christ died for? None. They'll all be there. How many people will be in hell that Christ died for? None. There won't be any people in hell that Christ died for. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We come together, and when the truth of Almighty God, the truth of the Father, the truth of the Son, the truth of the Holy Spirit is set forth, God Almighty blesses it in a mighty way. And He blesses it to His honor and to the love, the provoking to love of His people. They meet together and they all eat of this bread and drink of that blood. They eat and drink together, and they've met together and they have just absolutely enjoyed the fellowship around the preaching of the gospel. What a blessed privilege. Oh, may the Lord bless these words to our hearts as we take that precious passage. Though I only looked at the first two verses, Lord willing, we'll take next time when we get into Hebrews and we'll look what Almighty God has got to say. Thanks be unto Him, though. Let me remind you this. God's people don't forsake. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The Lord's going to keep His people. He's going to keep them. And they come together and He blesses it. Thanks be unto God that God has placed a candlestick of light in this place. May the Lord bless it to His honor and the good of His people. Amen.